When you go back to our good friend Donald Rumsfeld, and David, you know full well what he did to pass aspartame when all the science and all the research and all the studies said it was a dangerous toxin. But he got all that set aside and got aspartame approved when he was working with Monsanto. And how many millions of people, how many millions of lives have been ruined? You know, I go into a supermarket very, very infrequently. I might go once a year, seriously, to buy something like a roll of tape or whatever. I don't buy food in supermarkets. I know they're making an effort to put in organic food, which I'm very, very impressed with, but it's got to be much more than that. Anyway, you look in the lines at the checkout counters at, say, a mother with two or three children, and you look what's in that cart, and your heart wants to sink. It's sickening. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I've been through that experience many, many times. And I remember, you know, my youngest son, he's a goalkeeper, and he played in a soccer tournament once and at a school. And at the same time the soccer tournament was going on, they had a school fete, a school sale and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were providing soft drink for the kids, and I picked up one of the bottles, and there were like a forest of these bottles. And I looked at the ingredients, and it was just like liquid poison.
That's right.
And then you stand there and you see these little kids gulping it back, and your heart sinks. It really does.
Yeah, mine does. I know yours does too.
Because of what's going to come as a result.
They don't have a chance. They do not have a chance.
The system starts complaining about child behavior. I mean, you know, intelligent life over here, calling planet Earth.
Right.
One leads to the other. Because the chemical balance leads to an electrical imbalance.
Absolutely.
When it's messed with, and that means that the computer starts behaving in ways that it wouldn't normally, and we manifest this as child behaviors going crazy.
And what are we doing about it? We're giving people what they call sugar-coated cocaine, otherwise known as Ritalin, and then we graduate.
The same effect.
Of course, and then we graduate them to SSRIs in many cases, and virtually destroy them. These kids are, in many ways, chemically destroyed for the most part. They're still walking and talking, but the damage is enormous. By the time they're 14, 15 years old, 16 years old, it's no wonder they're dysfunctional. It's no wonder that we have so many problems with our young people. It's almost as if, as a society, as a socialized species, we have developed a death wish, David. We are poisoning ourselves on every level imaginable.
It seems to me, as I've walked across this journey, that I mean, I started to understand in the early 90s that this was not just some ordinary point in the story. There was a big change coming. For whatever reason, there was a vibrational change coming that was going to wake large numbers of people up from their slumber. And I don't think for a second that it's an accident that in this very period where this is starting to unfold, where frequencies are changing, where our relationship to time is changing, mine is, I mean, time's passing so fast, I mean, it's just ridiculous, or the perception of time, that is, that in this very period when this wake-up was predicted, and I've seen it among large numbers of people, that the mass of the people are being bombarded, particularly young people, are being bombarded with this chemical and electromagnetic onslaught, which is having the effect of scrambling the computer, if you like.
Well, you've seen them.
They cannot manifest their full potential because
right now,
you know they're literally full of computer viruses caused by this stuff.
Perfectly said. Two things. One, you've seen cell phones now. I've seen cell phones, David, that are maybe an inch and a half tall, half an inch, three quarters of an inch thick, and the kids will actually palm them in their hands and cup the entire side of their hand over their ear on the side of their head and press this microwave gathering generating device onto the side of their brains for hour after hour after hour, and it's beyond criminal.
I put some data in the book about mobile phones and their effect, and it is extraordinary how little exposure to them has such a big effect on the brain and how it works.
I've got the Swedish study up there where they took rats and exposed them to normal cell phone amounts of radiation in the normal individual's day of using the phone, and then take the rat's brain out, slice it down very thin, and it's full of holes. Full of holes.
In the book I put two pictures together. You know this professor in Japan who has taken pictures of water crystals.
Sure.
Yeah, when they've been exposed to various things.
Frequencies, music,
types of music. Together in the book one in which the water crystal has been exposed to words of love and affection, love and appreciation, and it's a lovely, geometrically pleasing to the eye.
That looks like a snowflake.
Yeah.
And
then next to it, I put a water crystal that has been exposed to mobile phone frequencies, and it's just grotesque. And when you think, even on this physical level, we are overwhelmingly made up of water, just the effect on that level alone of mobile phone frequencies and all the other things that we are subjected to is absolutely enormous. And those two pictures together are really, really symbolic of harmony and complete disharmony, where we can be and where the system is trying to push it.
Love and chaos. And we'll be right back with David Icke after this. Printing already sold out. You can get online and get registered to buy the second printing. Buy in there. How many in the second run are you going to make available, David? Do you know?
I'm not sure, to be honest, because of the cash flow holes that are incessant in the publishing industry.
Oh, yeah.
You are selling books long before you get the money for them, and more books need printing in the meantime. You can only go in smaller numbers, so maybe 10, 20,000.
Good. All right. Well, they're going to go fast, too. You're coming to magnificent Mount Shasta in a little over a month.
That's right, 23rd, 24th of July. I just am very attracted to that place. It's interesting when I've got into this whole new level of the nature of the matrix, the nature of the illusory world, because clearly on one level it can be broken down into mathematics, and these recurring sequences that we have and we would have talked about on this show, and of course many people do, like the Fibonacci number sequence, where you add the number before to the next number to get the next number.
Mm-hmm.
And this Fibonacci sequence can be found throughout nature with remarkable regularity. You have pi proportions, golden means, what they call sacred geometry. We have numerology where certain number sequences keep coming up. We have the Chinese I Ching and all these things. And what you realize is what the reason these mathematical sequences keep reoccurring is that they're part of the mathematical construct of the matrix. And there was an American doctor called Stephen Marquardt who studied the Fibonacci number sequence with regard to the proportions of the human face, and he concluded, I would say correctly, that quote, all life is biology, all biology is physiology, all physiology is chemistry, all chemistry is physics, all physics is math. And he might have added that all math is energy and all energy is consciousness. But at one level you can pick out this mathematical construct, and there are certain places within the mathematical sequences which are particularly important to the sequence. And this is what I would suggest the ancients have long called sacred places, where they've gone because of these areas were sacred to their history, sacred to their gods, and all this stuff. And I think Mount Shasta is a really, really important point on this mathematical grid. It might manifest in our reality as a mountain, but it's on another level. It's a very important place in the mathematical construct, where the construct can be changed. And I'm going there with that in mind, and that's the reason I agreed to go.
It's a staggeringly beautiful place.
Unbelievable. And the energy of the place. I've been there twice. I've been there in the winter when the snow was down, and in the summer when it was beautiful. But either way, there's an energy there that is remarkable if you can access it. And it's not just visually beautiful. The energy is extremely powerful. And I'm not surprised that so many different and often diverse groups focus on that place as one of the special places on the planet. So I'm looking forward to going there again and see what happens.
To not ignore the more mundane, the globalists are ratcheting up and tightening down on this country, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
With ever-increasing ferocity, and there's no more artifice, no more subtlety, stealth, deception. The lies are absolutely bigger than life, by design, of course.
Yeah.
They rewrite history on the fly to justify and to deflect any criticism of what they are doing all the time. And yet the mass of America that seems to be aware of things, I don't know how big of a mass it is, first of all, but many of them are saying this is so rotten, so corrupted, there is no rehabilitation. It has to be literally rebuilt from the ground up. And I'm not going to waste my time pounding on a door that is not only locked, but it's welded shut. And on the other side is utter corruption, utter immorality, and stark raving evil. Why should I throw myself into that cauldron when I can do other things to try to preserve and protect and certainly regenerate on the outside what we still have here? What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, I think joining the system to change the system is a myth, because the system will just either frustrate you or even encompass you eventually.
Or worse.
Sorry.
Or worse.
Yeah, worse. Yeah. For me, what we need to do is to get into that silence between the thoughts, because from that point, from that perspective, we will know the best way to go forward in our desire to change what we're experiencing. If we don't get into the silence, then we're in the program, and if we're in the program, we're in the program trying to change the program, and coming overwhelmingly from the program's perspective, and so far from changing it, we'll just add our energy to it. Once we get into the silence, we're in the world physically, but we're not of it in terms of where we're coming from, in terms of the way we see it.
So the silence disempowers them.
The silence?
It disempowers them. They hate that.
They do. They want reaction. Yep. They want oscillation. I mean, one of the things that I was told by a very loud voice when I was in another state of consciousness some years ago was, if it vibrates, it's illusion. Because in the world of the silence between the thoughts, there is no vibration. It's just is. There is no movement. It's just all-knowing isness, if you like. Oneness, unity. And to set up a frequency, an oscillation, it needs two points. It needs two polarities. And there are no polarities within the silence. It's in the illusion where you get the polarities, and that's where you get the vibrational states of various kinds. And so someone being for something vehemently, to set up a frequency between two points, you need the point of being vehemently against what the other polarity wants. And this is why you find, Jeff, that when you look at so many extremes in political view or whatever, like the far right or the far left or the far this or the far that, what you find is the way the people operate in each polarity is basically the same. I remember talking to a policeman who in the 70s policed in London the marches of the National Front, which was a Nazi organization, and the Anti-Nazi League in London.
They used to
march against each other.
Right.
And this policeman said to me, he said, you know the most remarkable thing? He says, you could not tell them apart in terms of their behavior and how they operated. Now, the reason for this,
Hold on right there, David. Hold on. Let's come back and we'll sum that up in just a second. Let's do a little break here. It's true. Polarity is one of the primary fuels of division. Back in a minute. The cop was talking to you about these two marches, antithetical allegedly in the political spectrum, but in reality?
In reality, different expressions of the same state. And the reason for this is that they may be different polarities, but they are the same vibration, which is oscillating between them.
Uh-huh.
And this is why I say in the book, what we fight, we become. And it's so often, again and again around the world, you'll find two sides who actually operate in the same way, but they just use different language when they're doing it. It's because they've set up a vibration between them, and therefore they both become expressions of that vibration. The thing is not to make a polarity, not to get into the in the duality of conflict. Just do and say what you believe to be right without actually fighting for something. You know, fighting for freedom, fighting for peace. I love fighting for peace. I mean, I can't work that one out. Maybe come on, explain it to me. If we stop fighting and we start being, which is a much more powerful state in terms of change, then we don't set up polarities because we're not focusing on the other polarity. We're not focusing on the problem and removing the problem. We're focusing on creating an alternative reality which will remove the problem. The reason that right the way through the centuries, those in authority have always been frightened of visionaries is because they are offering a different reality to the one that's being implanted into the population.
Right.
And therefore, at the very least, they are giving the population in general the understanding that actually, you know, that is not the only possibility that is on the table. You may think it is. This is the only way to live. This is the only way of doing things, but action and seeing the world. But actually, there's another one over here. Have a look. See if that makes any sense to you. And that's incredibly dangerous because once people start to see there are other realities and other ways of doing things and other ways of seeing the world, suddenly a process starts in, well, what else have I been thinking that's not true? You know, it's like this weapons of mass destruction thing has been devastating for the Illuminati because people have started to say in larger and larger numbers, hold on a minute, if they lied to me over this, what else have they lied to me about? Now, I would emphasize here that the very people that told us the weapons of mass destruction story to justify the invasion of Iraq are exactly the same people who told us the official story of 9/11. Maybe they were telling the 100% truth then and then just decided to lie over Iraq. I doubt it myself, however. And in Europe, there are some encouraging things going on, especially recently, because there is an instinctive change in terms of people's perception of authority, in the sense that the Dutch and the French who voted against this United States of Europe with a President of Europe and a Foreign Minister of Europe, they weren't doing it overwhelmingly by sitting down and saying, yeah, there's this group and they want to manipulate centralization of power because then they've got more power over us and all this stuff. We're working it out as we talk about on this program because they don't have access to that information, most of them. But there was an instinct. We don't like the way this is going. We're losing more and more power over our lives here. And it is a growing thing. And if they had a referendum in Britain at this time, like in Holland and France, the no vote would be massive. They have no chance of getting it through. So at the very least, this timescale they have for introducing this global state, which the European Union is a fundamental part, is in disarray. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier, Jeff, about it becoming more and more obvious, which is absolutely right. I mean, there's no subtlety left. One of the reasons, and I'm certain of this, is that they are in a mad panic in terms of timescale. They're behind the game. And everyone I talk to who I respect tells me the same thing. The time scale is behind and they are panicking because it's not going like they wanted it to go. And the more that we can say, no, we're not doing it, we're not participating in our own prison, the building of our own prison, the more that timescale will get in trouble. I'm more optimistic now, funnily enough, although, you know, if I looked at it just from a 5 cents level, I wouldn't be. But when I look at the totality of what's happening, I'm more optimistic now than I've ever been that this thing's going down. It's not going to go quietly. It's not going to go easily, but it's going to go. It's breaking up.
I agree. In the last couple of months, I've seen things that are they're rays of light penetrating the darkness. Yeah. When you think back, as you've mentioned, throughout the centuries, the millennia, the manipulators have always used religion, belief system, politics, wealth, knowledge. They'll put it out there and they'll pull it back. They control. These are all things to polarize, to get people chomping at different hooks, different agendas. And as soon as they get that, then they've got control. It's an old game, and they play it beautifully.
It's like I've been saying in the books for years. They don't care what your belief is, so long as you have one.
Right.
You know, if you want to believe vehemently in Islam, then that's fine by them. If you want to do the same with Christianity or Judaism or Hinduism, that's fine by them. As long as you've got a rigid belief, they've got you. Because they have created a situation in which you have shut yourself off from all possibility. When you take on a religion and you give the religion a name and the religion has a truth written down, you're already disconnected from all possibility and focused on one possibility. And therefore, how can you live your life following one possibility and at the same time express who you really are, which is the silence between the thoughts, all possibility? You can't. You've disconnected by your belief, and this is why they want us to have these beliefs, beliefs in culture, beliefs in country, beliefs in religion, and there are many different religions. There's the religion called the obsession with money. There's a religion now about relating to celebrity. I mean, this whole celebrity religion that's being
born
all these magazines.
Absolutely right.
Again, it's getting people to focus in a way that looks up at someone else on a pedestal, and I'm down here, you know. And anything that does that also disconnects us from the understanding that we are all-knowing, all-possibility. Because all-knowing, all-possibility is all that is. It doesn't look up to someone on a pedestal, because it is the pedestal. It is the person on the pedestal, and it is the person looking up. We need to look each other in the eye, because we're all the same consciousness. Rather than have these idols that we put up there. That's what they want. They want us to focus on idols, because then it's little me, big them, which is just exactly the disempowered state that they want us to have.
And our poor young people who are literally drowning, wallowing, some reveling in this cult of the celebrity. They pick up the magazines, the tabloids, they watch the television, they watch the music videos. You know, when CNN was having ratings trouble, it's been a number of years ago now. I don't know, four or five. You know who they hired, David, to spruce up their ratings, their formatting? You were a television presenter, and you know the business. They hired former top people from MTV.
Right.
You get it. It's all glitz. It's all sizzle.
Right.
It's all absolutely form, no substance, and these kids are trapped in it. They're trapped in the cult of celebrity. I've never seen anything like it. It's very sad.
But the kids today are being targeted more than any other generation, I think.
From the first time they can watch television on. I don't care
exactly.
If it's a cartoon character celebrity.
And there's a reason for this. The reason is this wake-up time. And it's about trying to suppress from every angle possible our ability to go with this change and wake up to see the nightmare that we are experiencing and realize that it can be a dream that we actually want to experience if we take control of it. To keep us from that, we're being bombarded from every angle because our natural state is one of multidimensional awareness. They want to hold us in a state of suppressed awareness and therefore will operate on their terms in their stadium instead of in the infinite stadium that we should be operating in.
That is so true. Children are born in that natural state. They are aware of so many things multidimensionally, and those things, of course, are scared out of them, or at least they are frightened to the extent that they withdraw from them. Very early, and they don't talk about them, and then pretty much they recede into the shadows and the mists of their consciousness, and that's how the game is played.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. When you are presenting at Mount Shasta in July, July 23rd, 24th, 2 days, each day, I guess, will be a full program, or is it part one and part two?
Well, each one will be a full program. What I do is I go from A to B to C to D.
Way back from the beginning. You build the whole thing.
Spectrum,
wow.
Up to what the sort of stuff we're talking about now, because everything fits into everything else when you see it from a bigger perspective. All of it, everything from a spa tame to the nature of reality, all kind of fits in together. 9/11, the whole thing.
All amazing and all too true. And I've watched you take this journey, and so many have been able to follow it with you through your books over the years. You've had an impact on probably tens of millions of people, and one wonders where you want to go next with this, David. This book.
Just the recurring story, really. I finish a book, and I think, well, what now? And then the what now starts to become very clear within weeks, and away I go. It's like something I came across years ago, which the Greek philosopher Socrates was supposed to have said, wisdom is knowing how little you know. And with an open mind that there's always more to know, there's always more to communicate. And it's a very exciting time because we're now going into realms where we can really get a fix on what this deal's all about.
Well,
and the next few years are going to be great.
And your book is a major torch in that darkness. Thank you. Always great to spend time with you, my friend.
You too, Jeff.
Be well.
Okay, mate.
Good night.
Bye.
David Icke, live from England. And his new book is called Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything else is illusion. Exposing the dream world we believe to be real. Fascinating reading, and it will definitely open your mind. Back in just a few minutes.